You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
This morning, if you return with me to the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter. We're going to read verses 11 through 19. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17, verse number 11, it says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the borders between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he had saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And then Jesus said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Our focal voice is going to be verse number 18. It says, "Was no one found to return and give praise unto God except this foreigner?" And for a few minutes, I'd like to take for a thought. Let us return and thank God. Let us return and thank God. I use this particular passage of scripture on Friday at our teen council, as we had our Thanksgiving dinner. I wanted to find out exactly how thankful our young people were. And I know a lot has been said about our young people and their entitlement and so on and so forth. But just to share with you a few of the comments that I received from some of these young people, they were thankful. They were thankful for the right things. They expressed a thankfulness for their parents. And they talked so much about how much their parents had meant to them. There were those who talked about how thankful they were for schooling and education. There were those who talked about being thankful for the church in which they attend. But Janelle Thomas was one of the ones that really got me when she said that, "I'm thankful to God that he has allowed me to live the amount of years that I've lived." And she expressed a thankfulness to God. And that moved me. Because generally you can tell how thankful you are by how thankful your children are. Because the children will reflect what you will exemplify before them. Understand this, that thanksgiving is not just words that are uttered from our mouths. Gratitude is not just a word that we use. But when you're talking about being truly thankful, when you're talking about having gratitude towards God, it automatically becomes a lifestyle for you. In other words, you will live a life that exemplifies how grateful you are to God. So in this text, we see that Jesus is making his final journey towards Jerusalem. This will be his last trip to Jerusalem, for this will have Calvary at its end. He makes this trip from Galilee down through Samaria. And he finds himself somewhere between the coast of Galilee, or the borders of Galilee and Samaria, which tells me that there's more than likely a mixed population that is here. For the Samaritans were a mixed breed. And the Jews and the Samaritans really did not get along. But Jesus, on this journey, now finds himself confronted with ten men. Ten men that have a lot different, but they have one thing that binds them together. They have one thing that unifies them, and that is that they are all lepers. They all suffer from this disease of leprosy. This disease that is a scaly disease. It breaks down the skin particles. And at its worst case, we'll actually see limbs fall from the body. Leprosy is one that was contagious. And it caused them to put people who had leprosy outside of the city. So here we see in our text, said as he was going, verse number 12, into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance. Well, because of Levitical law, that's what they had to do. They had to stand at a distance. They could not approach. They had to stand outside of the village. They were no longer allowed in and to socialize with anyone in the village. That included their families. Leprosy was a dreaded disease. There were times that it was noted as being a judgment from God. You remember when Miriam spoke against Moses and how God had struck her with leprosy. She had to be put outside of the camp. Yes, leprosy is a form and symbolic of sinful nature, our sinful nature. So in other words, all of us spiritually have suffered from leprosy. We've all had this disease of sinfulness and understanding that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Leprosy will kill you dead. And so these men stood afar off. They did what was required by the Levitical law. They stood afar off. And here it says that they all cried with a loud voice in unison, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Now, this here is quite unique because they use a term here for Jesus. They call him Jesus, but they also say Master. In other words, understand that in the Greek, this Greek word for master is a term that is used in secular Greek for various officials, teachers, and leaders. And in the New Testament, sometimes the word is used by Luke, where the parallel synoptic gospel uses another word, teacher and rabbi. But the unique thing about this is that this is a word that only his disciples or those who believed in him would use for him. So my question is, how did these guys know how to use this terminology? How did they know that Jesus was who he said that he was? Well, the only way that they could have known is that the Holy Spirit had revealed it to them. The Holy Spirit must have pricked their hearts. And no doubt they had heard the news of Jesus and all the wonderful things that he had done. But understand that it's only the Holy Spirit that convicts you of your sinfulness. It's only the Holy Spirit that can convict you and let you know that there's something wrong with me. That's what he does. He comes that he might convict us of our sinfulness and that he might reveal Jesus for who he is. And that's the only reason why they can use this term master, because the Holy Spirit had convicted their hearts and let them know that Jesus is a healer. And I don't know about you, but is there anybody in here that's ever been sick before and needed a healing from the Lord? There anybody in here that's been on their sick bed and God has raised you up from your sick bed? You ought to say, Lord, thank you for healing my body. We need to come and cry with a loud voice and say, Lord, thank you for all that you've done. But understand that there are some believers and even some Christians that will sit down on their praise and understand that God has been too good to us for us to ever sit down on God. He's been a blessing to us. All of us have been blessed. Listen here, if you walked through those doors and didn't need no help, you've been blessed by God. As a matter of fact, if you woke up this morning with a portion of your health and strength, clothed in your right mind, able to wave your hands and say, Lord, thank you, you've been blessed today. You got a reason to thank God today. I don't need to remind you, you know how good God has been to you. You got a job that takes care of you and your family and some other folk too. You ought to say, Lord, thank you. If you got a home to go back to and food in the refrigerator and in your cupboards, Lord, you ought to say, Lord, thank you. But more importantly, you ought to live like you're thankful. Thankfulness is not a one-time event. Yes, we can come in here and we can throw up holy hands. We can say, Lord, thank you. But if you leave out of here living like the devil, you ain't really thankful. So these men cried with a loud voice saying, Master, have pity on us. Now understand this. They did not say, Lord, heal us. But they say, Lord, have pity on us. In other words, Lord, whatever you do, whatever you give to us, it's all right with us. Have pity on us. And Jesus, when he saw them, verse 14, he said, go show thyself to the priest. This was according to the Levitical law as well. And understand that Jesus never touched them. He never said, be thou healed. He simply said, go and show yourself to the priest. Which tells us that Jesus had a healthy understanding of what the Levitical law said. Because only the priest could give them a clean bill of health. It's only the priest that could do that. But look at here. We don't see anywhere where these guys complain or ask Jesus any questions. A lot of times Jesus tells us to do stuff. He expects us to just go and do what he said do. But most times we find every reason in the world why we cannot do what Jesus said to do. Most times we got quite more questions for Jesus. We want to ask, why are you telling us to go there? Why are you telling us to do this? But look at what these men did. It says, and as they went, they were cleansed. So in other words, their healing did not come until they obeyed Jesus. Understand that most of your blessing is not going to come until you obey Jesus. Until you get to a place of obedience to him and obedience to his word, you're not going to get what you're expecting out of God. You got to be willing to sacrifice and be obedient. But he says, as they went, they were cleansed. And I don't know how they knew that they were cleansed, because I can only imagine that they went in a hurry. And all I can imagine is them running to the priests that they might show themselves. And I don't know whether there was some hurt that would disappear or some pain that had disappeared, but they discovered that they had been healed. And maybe they looked at one another and said that your skin is smooth now. What's going on? But needless to say, they all realized and recognized that they had been healed by God. But lo and behold, we see that 9 of them continued to run to the priest. But the text here says that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. So one of them seen that he had been healed. And he was struck with a sense of gratitude. A sense of gratitude that was so compelling that it compelled him and it turned him around. That he had to go back to where his healing had came from. Understand this, that all 10 were healed, but only one really got the message. So my question to you this morning is, which one are you? Are you a part of the 9? Or are you in that 10% of one that came back to give thanks unto the Lord? Listen here, understand this, is that all of us in the church, the body of Christ, needs to turn back and say, Lord, thank you. The body of Christ has so much to be thankful for. You see, because our healing came at the expense of Jesus Christ. Our healing came at the expense of the death of the Son of God. And if that ain't enough to give God thanks for, I don't know what is. The problem is that we value material things over the word of God. And sometimes we find it hard to thank and praise God when we don't have as much as our neighbors. When we can't see past all of the things in life that brings a futile life. Money is going to pass away. Your house, your clothing is going to all pass away. But if you are in Christ Jesus, there's more with you than it is against you. Jesus Christ means the world to me. And so this one came back. And with a loud voice, he praised God. Now listen. If you look back at the beginning when all 10 of them came and with a loud voice cried out unto the Lord for healing, we see here now that after the healing has come, this one comes with a loud voice and cry. And listen, I would today that we would cry out as loud after our healing, after our blessing, as we did when we were complaining about what we did not have. We find ourselves complaining about all kinds of things. And I've come to find that when we, if you want to have an antidote for complaining, just begin to thank God. If you take a few minutes to just thank God, this leper had a grateful heart. He was grateful for what the Lord had done for him. And there's a power in the grateful heart. When you have a grateful heart, it gets our eyes off of ourselves and it helps us to focus back on God. Another thing that a grateful heart does, it reminds us that we're not in control. Amen. I'm glad I'm not in control. But it tells us that we serve a mighty God who is, and it keeps us in a place of humility and dependence on him. And as we recognize how much we really need him. Grateful heart also helps us to recognize that we have so much to be thankful for. Even all the little things that God has done in our lives, we can be thankful for it. Even the mere fact that we can get up and dress ourselves in the morning, we can be thankful for that. These are things that we take for granted. The mere fact that we can put one foot in front of the other, that we can go out and turn a key and start a car and get in our car and drive to work and back home is something that we can be thankful for. A grateful heart reminds us that God is the giver of all every good and perfect gift, that we are never alone, and that he's fully sufficient to supply our life's needs. That's what a grateful heart will do. A grateful heart leaves no room for complaining, for it is impossible to be truly thankful and filled with negativity and ungrateful at the same time. It's impossible. How can you say that you're thankful, but you're constantly complaining? This is a good one. Having a grateful heart will make your enemies flee. So if the devil is beating up on you, I dare you to start praising God and thanking God for what he's done for you. You see, because there's nothing that the devil hates more than a joyful, praising God Christian. So if you want your enemy off your back, begin to praise God. The forces of darkness cannot stand to be around a heart that gives thanks and honor to God. Our praise and thanksgiving will make him flee from us. And then also a grateful heart, it opens up the door for continued blessing. In other words, if you want God to keep on blessing you, just begin to praise him and thank him for what he's already done for you. Get excited about what God is already doing. It takes a grateful heart. God wants to bless us. So this one came back. And look at him. The first thing he did is he took the position of praise. For it says that he threw himself down at Jesus' feet. There's a position of thankfulness. This is a position of surrendering unto Jesus. This is much different than the nine. Because perhaps the nine now are still running to get to the priest. Understand that there's a difference between running to get to the priest and running and back and throwing yourself at the feet of Jesus. So he surrenders unto Jesus. And he throws himself at his feet and began to praise him with a loud voice. And it says that he was a Samaritan. So in other words, this was like outcast. This was one that was not only outcast because of his leprosy, but he was also an outcast because of his race, because he was a Samaritan. And Jesus makes note of it. He says, was no one found to return to give praise to God except for this foreigner? All of them were healed, but we only have this one that has come back. So again, my question to you is, which one are you? The church needs to turn back and give God praise. Begin to thank God for what he has done in the lives of believers. We talk about America being one nation under God. Well, when will America turn back and begin to praise God and lift up God like they should do? Because God has been good to these United States of America. This is still one of the most blessed places to live on the face of the earth. God is still blessing America. But how can America return and thank God when the church won't turn and thank God? We sit on our praises. We think that God owes us something. But understand that everything that you've gotten, God has given to you. I know you think you pulled yourself up by your own bootstrap. That is physically impossible. And as I told the young people, I don't care where you are in life, you didn't get there by yourself. All of us need help. All of us have experienced help along the way. And God has brought us over by his hand. But God has put some people in your life. Husbands, you need to start thanking God for your wife. Wives need to start thanking God for their husbands. Parents need to start thanking God for their children. I know we want it the other way, that they thank God for us, but we need to thank God for them. If your child ain't in jail this morning, thank God. If your child ain't in the hospital somewhere battling cancer, you need to thank God. Church needs to turn back and thank God for what God has done for us. You see, because the world is watching the church. And if the church is so busy complaining and not thanking God, if we will not return and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for us, then what is the world going to do? Thanking God. Listen here, church, you need to thank God for your pastor. You need to thank God for all that God has poured into him. You need to thank God that he hasn't been caught up in any scandals. You need to thank God that he's only had one wife. Amen. talking to some of these pastors and preachers, I find out, man, none of them are like this man. None of them are like this man. Because he sold himself out to the word of God. He's been transparent. Macedonia, you need to thank the Lord for 100 years of existence in ministry. If you have not seen or been to another church, Macedonia, you need to thank God for your church. I'm telling you, I could go on and on. There's a lot of stuff we need to thank God for. Be thankful for all that the Lord has done. He has been good to the church. He's been good to this United States of America. And let me share this with you. He's been good to me. God has been good to me. I don't understand it. I don't know why God has been so good to me. But Lord, I just thank you for what you've done in my life. I don't always understand why God does what he does for me. I used to try and make excuses for it, but I don't do that no more. No, Lord, thank you. God, if you want to bless me, Lord, thank you for the blessings. The scripture tells us that we're to be thankful in all things. So yes, even in the bad times, I can say, Lord, yeah, thank you. Even when trouble comes my way and tribulation is beating my door down, I can say, Lord, thank you. Even when things are not going like I want them to go, I can still say, Lord, thank you. Why? Because I'm living a life of thankful, a life of gratitude. Yeah, I realize, like Pastor said, that it could always be worse. It could always be worse. I can always find a reason to thank God, even in difficult times, difficult situations. I can thank God. Oh, I can only imagine that this man looked down at his hands, and his hands looked new. Looked at his feet, and they did too. Yes, it's God that blesses us. Because one day I looked at my hands and they looked new. Looked at my feet and they did too. Oh, how grateful I am to God for changing my life and for saving me. Understand that it took a price to save me. It took a price to get rid of this dreadful disease of leprosy and sin that I had. It took an awesome price. One that I could not pay myself. Didn't have enough money to pay this price. Because this price required blood. As a matter of fact, it required the death of the Lamb of God. Jesus is that Lamb. Jesus Christ, who came down through 42 generations with a purpose just to save us. He came down doing good, healing the sick and raising the dead. He came down to show us how to live this Christian life. And one day they took him and they marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Yes, they did. They marched him from judgment hall and they said all kind of lies against him. But he never uttered a word. They took him before Pontius Pilate. He stood before Pontius Pilate. Never said a word. Pilate gave him over to the Jews and said, you do what you will with him. They cried out, mob crowd, crucify him, crucify him. Yes, they did. They crucified my Jesus out on Calvary's cross. They nailed him to the cross in his hands. They riveted his feet. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulder and he died for me. It's an awesome price that he paid for my sinfulness. But he willingly went to the cross and died for my sins. He died upon that cross. They buried him in a tomb. But early on Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hands. Holy Ghost power, cleansing power, power to heal, power to bless. And I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with what he's done in my life. I'm excited about what Jesus is going to do in my life. I'm not going to live a life of complaining and always going to God needing something. God knows my needs. He supplies my needs according to his riches and glory. But I'm just thankful for what God has already done in my life. I'm thankful for how good he's been to me. I'm thankful for all that he's given me. I thank God for all that he does. But here's even some more good news. He went on up to heaven. He caught a cloud up to heaven. And he sits at the right hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. In other words, he's our advocate. He's our lawyer up there. And he's telling, every time Satan accuses, he said, but I died for that sin. He died for our sins. He rose, was buried, but now he makes intercession. But there's one more step, right, Pastor? He's coming back again. Yes, he is. He's going to come back. He's going to crack the sky. And we're going to be caught up together with him in the air. We'll forever be with him. I'm looking for that day. I'm excited about that day. Yeah, we need to return and thank God. He's done too much. He's done too much for us to sit on our praise and sit on our thankfulness. We need to be thankful. You want to be blessed? Thank him for what he's already done. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.